And God knows they need that pain. We don't want to see him suffer. It could be our spouse. It could be our children. It could be somebody that's very close to us who, and maybe they just consistently make bad decisions. And you've talked and you've prayed and things go on and on and on. And in order for God to really reach them, in order for them to really lay a hold of an enduring hope that is going to last them forever into eternity, they may have to experience the consequences of their actions. And that is so hard. Because we have basically told God, I'll lay down my life for this person. Whether it's our spouse or our children or whoever it happens to be, I'll die for them. I'll do whatever I can. And sometimes the thought of allowing them to experience the trouble that they have basically brought upon their own head is heartbreaking. It wrenches our guts. And everything in us wants to screams out to do whatever we can to help them to help them avoid that pain. But sometimes that's what has to happen for them to really find the change that needs to happen in their soul and really inherit everything God has for them in the big picture. And we plead with them and we plead with God. If we can't see past the immediate moment and look into the big picture for those we love who are struggling with those issues and who need those consequences, if we can't see beyond the immediate moment and the temptation, the overwhelming temptation to bail them out of those consequences over and over and over, they might miss the very things they need that God wants to give them in order to bring them true, abundant life. Praise God. Sometimes as church leaders we have to do that. Being an elder is not for wimps, man. You got to make tough choices sometimes because people in your congregation are making decisions that are wrong. And we can try to cover for them and give grace and help them and pray for them and bail them out and do different things. But if they are blind to what they're doing, sometimes we have to just let go and let them have the consequence, let them essentially reap what they've sown in love, in hopes of restoration. Because that's the only way that the light is finally going to go on in their eyes and they're going to see what they're doing with their life. Any elders agree with me on that? Any home group leaders? Praise God. We have to do it. Sometimes our hand is forced, but we know the result will be that it's worth the cost. You know, Peter, Jesus told the disciples, hey guys, guess what? I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to Jerusalem too. They're going to arrest me. They're going to kill me. And then I'll be raised up on the third day. And Peter said, Lord, no way. No way. He said, far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you. Trying to bail him out. No, Lord, kill you? Are you kidding? Absolutely not. Peter rebukes Jesus. Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen. What did Jesus say to him? Get behind me, Satan. All Peter could see was the immediate moment. This is the man I have given my life for. This is the man I would die for. This is the man I love more than life itself. What do you mean you're going to die? What do you mean they're going to mistreat you? No way. It's not going to happen. I have got to protect you from that. And if Jesus had listened to Peter, Peter would be in hell right now because he never would have gone to the cross to die and pay the price for our sins. And Peter and every one of us would perish forever. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't listen to Peter? Aren't you glad he took the hard road for the joy that was set before him? Praise God. Thank God Paul was not persuaded by his buddies either. Thank God Paul didn't just bail out and say, you know, guys, you're right, man. I've had a hard life. Enough of this stuff, man. I think I'll just chill out here in Caesarea and live the good life. I'm going to retire. Thank God The only way he avoided that temptation was to have that attitude that he told the Ephesian elders. He said, none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself. Until we reach the point that all of these things, all this stuff, all of our convenience and comfort and luxuries and all the good stuff of life, not sinful stuff, all the good stuff of life, until we reach the point where we can say with Paul, none of these things move me. I don't count my life dear to myself, even life itself. Until we're ready to abandon everything to God, we could be missing the greatest blessings and provisions, the most mind-blowing, spectacular things God wants to do in our life. Because we're so concerned with protecting the little trinkets of our life that we're going to miss out on the great, grand, and glorious purpose that God has for us. And maybe, you know, if all you've known in your life is trinkets, I can understand. Maybe you're like, buddy, this is all I got is trinkets, man. You're asking me to give up everything. It ain't much, but it's all I got. God says, I know. I know. Trust me. Trust me. Matthew 16:25, Jesus said that's the way to find life. He said, for whoever desires to save his stuff, whoever desires to save his trinkets, whoever desires to save his comfort and convenience, whoever desires to save his life will do what? But whoever loses his life for my sake will do what? He'll find it. He'll find it. Haven't you been searching? Hasn't your heart cried out, God, I want to lay a hold of you. I want to know you more. I know you some. I know you a little bit. But my heart cries out to know you in the depths of my being with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Wouldn't you love for God to just pull back the curtain and reveal His manifested glory to you? Does that witness to anybody's heart? Wouldn't you love to just sense the very tangible presence of the Lord Jesus Christ throughout the day, just empowering you and endowing you with His glory through all the things you go through during the day? If that's you, just raise your hand and say, yeah. 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 Man, my heart cries to know Him. And nothing in this world is worth missing Him over. Nothing in this world. Nothing in this world is worth missing Him. Amen? Amen. You know, there's different types of churches. There's those who just preach victory so much that they miss the fact that they get a little out of balance. They preach the resurrection and victory so much that they forget to mention that you have to go through the cross to get to the resurrection. Can't resurrect somebody who's alive. They got to die first. But there's also on the other side, and God bless them, those who embrace and preach the cross so much that you would never know that there's a resurrection on the other side. That's all they talk about. Like, God came across. Someday it'll all work out in the end. And I don't want to diminish the cross at all. But Jesus endured the cross for the what? For the joy that was set before Him. The cross wasn't the end of the story. The empty tomb is the end of the story. In fact, that's even just the beginning of the end. And so we need both. We need to embrace the cross, but we need to embrace that for the joy that is set before us and abandon ourselves to God in full trust, in full assurance, in full confidence of what God has planned for our life as a member of His bride. We are His bride. Are we not? He loves us passionately. He wants to adorn us in white and in splendor and glory. He's not going to beat up His bride, throw her in the ditch, and leave her on the side of the road. He died so He could pull us out of the ditch, clean us up, and get us off of the road. Praise God. Abandon yourself to God. If you lose your life for His sake, you'll find it. I mentioned Forrest Gump. What business did Forrest Gump get into? Shrimp. What did he buy? A boat. Okay. got into business, the seafood business. He was going to go out, catch shrimp and seafood, distribute it to the various restaurants. Was he initially successful? No, he met with immediate, devastating failures. So he decided to do something, a four-letter word that starts with P. What did he do? Prayed. And when he prayed, what was it that changed things around? A storm. And what happened to every other ship in the sea? Got destroyed. What happened to his? Got preserved. And as a result, he and Lieutenant Dan became millionaires. But even more, after that, I love the line where Forrest Gump says, well, although he never said it, I suspected that Lieutenant Dan finally made his peace with God. And that's the ultimate reason. Yes, we might face immediate devastating failures. We might have to go through a storm that will rock our boat to its core. But the end result is that God will work all things together for our good and for His glory. And if we're following His gospel, man, people will make their peace with God as a result. Praise God.